Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today. I want to talk to you about something here tonight that I mentioned or hinted at the beginning. I want to try and help you. I want to help you get to the end. Because faith is not just having faith right now. Faith is also about faithfulness. And keeping faith year after year after year after year after year is a pretty interesting proposition. Because all of us have seen people who got faith and then had it for a little while and lost it. And I mean, people all the time say, oh, you're still here. Like, I was down here like 30 years ago. It's amazing you're still here. You know, like, oh, I'm coming back to church now. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that 30 years? Like we've been here every week, walking, holding. But the thing is, there's always plenty of opportunities to stop walking, to give up, to quit. But faith doesn't quit.
That's right.
Faith keeps going till the very end. Faith isn't just about getting your prayers answered. It's about having the character of a person who is determined and committed to get to the other end. And so in James 1, 2, 3, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. All right, now, so he's reaching out to his friends and his family, his brothers. He said, look, count it all joy when you meet a trial. When you find yourself in a trial, don't be surprised. This is normal for you as a follower of Jesus. Remember what they did to him. Why would you expect to be treated any better? There's going to be pressure, invisible pressure on you, sometimes visible pressure. And I'm going to go through them here. I'm actually going to take you through 9 different kinds of challenge that you're going to find as a believer, but none of them will destroy you. All of them will build you. And they will build you better than any other experience that you're ever going to have in this life. In fact, when James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, it's like he's talking about there's a smorgasbord in front of you of various trials. There's a variety. And Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But he doesn't stop there, which is good. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. It doesn't matter what you're going through, even though it's more than what other people go through, even though it's irrational, because you're a good person, you're a really wonderful person, you've done everything right, and yet you are being attacked, yet you are discovering opposition. I discovered one major point in the opposition we face building this suite of buildings here is that the level of opposition indicates the worth of what you're trying to achieve. All right, so if you're trying to achieve something great, you're going to be facing some great trials. You think that the difficulties you've got today are out of proportion with your current level of responsibility. Correct. You're getting ready for tomorrow, because tomorrow you're going to have that level of blessing, responsibility, and ministry on you. And so today you're going through a simulator, a simulation of the pressure you'll have up there. And if you cope with it here, you're going to kiss it there. You're just going to walk right through it. So understanding the purpose of pain, it is so important. It's so important, because if you don't understand the purpose of pain, what's the point of living? And a lot of people come to that conclusion. Life hurts. So I'm checking out. The relationship broke down. It hurts too. I'm too in too much pain, emotional pain, And there's no reason for it. If it's meaningless, if life is meaningless, and there is no God, and we're dribbling in from a billion years, and we're dribbling on for another billion years, I'm just a piece of amoeba in this fathomless universe. And what's the point of pain? But let me tell you, there is a point. There is a point to every challenge and difficulty you'll ever face. It's shaping you and making you into the great person that God has made in His mind about you. And the job that He's got up ahead is beyond your current capacity. Man, I'm preaching. I'm telling you what you are saying, that I want that vision. It's beyond your capacity. I've had people come and say, man, I can see a presence, you know, the place is rocking, or one of our conferences where I want this. I said, no, you don't. You never want this, because the price for it, the price for us all to just sit here in the presence of God tonight, some of us don't even, we can't even begin to comprehend what has been paid for that. Jesus' death on a cross has secured my salvation, has brought us together as the church. And the countless ages of martyrs and people who gave their life to bring us this message, the gospel, to give us a new life, to give us a new mind. And the people who are alive today who are bearing pressure and carrying it so that we can gather and be in the house of God and not just survive, not just exist, not just manage to cope through under pressure, but actually to keep expanding and pushing out and pressing forward and expanding the kingdom. Friends, that's what faith is. That even though you're suffering and facing a challenge, that you still will summon the faith on the inside and say, I'm gonna live above this thing. I'm not gonna walk around with self-pity and telling people all about my problems. I'm not gonna complain and moan and grizzle and blame this person, blame that person. I'm gonna smile. I'm gonna rejoice. I'm gonna start getting happy, even though there is no figs on the fig tree. There's no fruit on the vine. There's no calves in the stall. Nothing's working for me. In spite of it, I will rejoice in the Lord. What are you gonna do? Sometimes when I've said that, you know, I can hear people's thinking, oh, that's not very real though. You gotta face reality, you gotta get real. Well, I don't know what your reality is. If your reality is misery, then if that's what you think, that's the only reality, because people can't believe that life would be happy. So get real. People aren't that positive. People aren't. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Your experience may have told you otherwise, and I'm not judging you about that, but you can be happy in this life. I'm an artist, okay? And this is interesting to me, because artists think, the kind of the purest mindset of the artist is you create art out of dark places, out of your pain. You write poetry from the wound. You bring songs out of the lament. True art comes from darkness. But I don't believe that. I paint happy pictures, and it's still art. It doesn't disqualify itself as art because it's not dark. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's just one of those misconceptions in people's thinking. And then the other one is like, people say, oh, I'm just going to paint what I paint, and who cares if the world wants it or not? Well, that's a fool, because you got to eat, and you need to paint some pieces that people are going to hang on their wall. And so my art agent said that to me once. That I said, I love doing big paintings. I just really enjoy doing the big ones. He says, well, nobody buys them because they haven't got that much room. Most people live in units. They want paintings about this big. I said, really? Okay, so let's do it. You got to get a little practical about your life as well. You can't just live in that sincere purism all your life. Otherwise, you'll fulfill the adage of the poor artist, that you just live that by. And it's not because an artist needs to be poor. It's because he's being stupid. So I'm just blowing up another sacred cow. Smells like a barbecue in here tonight, doesn't it? You know, it's the burning sacred cows everywhere. But you don't need to be poor and you don't need to be unhappy to be a genuine artist. That's what I'm telling you. You can be a creative person and be extremely successful in this life and be extremely happy. There is happiness. I mean, it's such a tragedy. Chris and I, we're watching TV, we watch a movie every now and then, and you're watching this couple and they're dancing around, they're having a birthday party, and both of us look at each other and say, they're dead. You know they're gonna die. You do, don't you? If they're all happy, they're kissing each other, or she's gonna die and he's gonna get revenge. Or if there are kids and they're having a birthday party, the parents are gonna die and the kid's gonna grow up and take revenge on the mob. It's just like, but if people are happy, it's like the world doesn't want people to be happy, because apparently that's not reality. But he is saying, count it all joy when you're in a trial. Just get happy, rejoice, because you are going to get through it. And know this, he says, you are going to increase a thing called patience. Patience. Okay, patience is another word for capacity. What can you cope with? What can you cope with? Now, I am the world's worst secret keeper. If you, honestly, if you want to keep a thing a secret, don't tell me. I preach every day of my life, sometimes three times in a day. I just pours out. It's not my fault. It's just blue, you know, like, I know something, I'll tell the world. So when people come to me, they say, I got a secret. Don't tell me. But I am extremely proud of myself tonight. I've been quite awesome over these last few weeks. True story. My son and his wife told us 4 weeks ago. Yes, they did. And they said, but keep it a secret. They trusted me. I felt entrusted with a sacred calling, a precious secret. And so I didn't tell anybody. They told more people than me. I said, oh, we just told this friend. Oh, we just told that friend. You know, like, and they're telling people, don't tell anybody. I said, you're worse than me. I haven't told anybody. But we have a number five grandkid now. A little Joseph. A little Joseph Christie. But now I've got a new secret. I'm not allowed to tell the gender. So that's it. The secret stops there. This guy transformed. Miracle. Amen. But let me tell you, I did tell somebody secret, and I was just telling Hannah out in the green room saying about this whole matter. And this guy had arranged for his wife to stay the night in a hotel. And he said, keep it a secret, because we're just going out for dinner, and then she thinks we're going back home, and then we're going to go. And we're in the car, and I said, oh, it's so good, you're staying overnight, you know? Boo! What can you cope with? What can you cope with? Somebody else telling you. See, can you cope with a disappointment, a discouragement? There's so many things that happen in this life that aren't going to work out the way you want it to. You wanted it to happen then. You wanted it to happen by then, by now. And it didn't. These are faith crashes. These are trials. What are you going to do? Say, oh, I'm not going back to that place. I'm giving up on this. And let your emotions rule your life. You strengthen what you act on. And if you just walk away when the first trial hits, then your strength needs strengthening. And if you hold in there, you're going to find that you get stronger. And stronger and stronger all the way through your whole life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And then there's the point of the bad things that happen in our life sometimes are the best things that can be happening to you. You think it's a bad thing. I mean, I never realized that one day there would be a multi-site concept when we built this church. We always thought people would come, and they did. But then we found that people traveling and traffic and everything else prevented that. Our first submission for this building was 5,000 seat auditorium, and it got rejected. I'm so glad for that now. paying the air conditioning bill and the lighting bill for a 5,000 seat auditorium when we're going multi-site would be a crazy option. So I'm thankful to God for his no. I was talking to some guy in Europe recently, a preacher, and he said, oh, it's not really that great, the story, actually, when I think about it. You know, anyway, he's saying, oh, I used to fall in love with every second girl at university, and I pray God let this be the one. He says, and I'd get no, and it wouldn't work out and all this. And he says, and this is 30 years later, I'm looking through the Facebook page of some of them, I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, amen. like I said, it's not good, forgive me. But it is like that. You go to the reunion, right? The school reunion, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I got saved. I'm so glad I got, you know, guys, one of the reasons I'm growing my hair is because you go to a school reunion, none of them have got hair. Like, if you got it, flaunt it, baby. You know, it's like Shaka Mandandisi. Yeah, baby. Okay. Here's a little, I can't believe it. I'm over time. I'm not bowing down to Lord Clock tonight. Okay. Are you okay? Are you good with this? I'm trying to keep it light because it's sort of like a pretty solid message, but I thought you guys are up to it. I thought you're up to this. Okay, so 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think it's strange that you're going through a trial. Don't think it's strange that you're feeling upside down, that your head's all wrong, that your heart's in bad shape and bruised. Don't think it's strange that you're feeling persecuted and criticized. Don't think it's strange that you have huge wars with doubts, obsessive thoughts coming, fixating in your brain. You're in a warfare. This is not strange. It happens to everyone in the room. And we're all fighting a battle and gaining greater faith every step we take. I found that one of the biggest ways that great faith has come into my world is through great trials. At the end of a trial, I thought, I didn't think I was going to make it, but I'm still on my feet. And don't think that this is years and years ago. That's right now. Regularly, I don't know if we can make it through this one. I got no idea how it's going to happen, but I'm believing you, Jesus. I'm going to hang in there. We're going to keep walking. We'll keep praying. We're going to stay alive in the purpose of God, and you get through it. And you go, whoa, put the dust off, feeling a little better. But the one thing I've learned not to say at the end of that is that, whoa, if I can get through that, I can get through anything. Don't say that. Because he's listening. He says, the anything. Oh, we've got a thing up here called anything. Hey, anything, come over here. It's this huge, it's this monster with teeth and claws and, yes, master. Hey, anything. He said he can get through anything. Go for it. Here he comes, the big old anything. Don't get too cocky. Just stay quiet. Because he needs no encouragement. God needs no encouragement at all. I've been in meetings. When Chris and I first got born again, we went through a terrible trial. The church we were in broke up because all these hippies came in, about 1,200 hippies, smoking and barefoot and smelly, all over the place. We brought them, and that was part of the problem, you know? And we had this big revival, and the church just, they'd been praying for revival, but when it happened, they weren't sure they really wanted it. And that can happen. You pray for things, and then you get it, and didn't realize it came smelly, and didn't realize miracles were so messy, and so undignified sometimes. Anyway, what was I talking about? We went through a big trial. I was just checking to see if you're listening. Most of you couldn't answer. I went through a big trial right there because the church blew up. It just didn't cope. And then I found myself just thinking, God, I don't think I can cope with this. And a lot of the new Christians didn't and just fell away. which is a deep sadness. However, I've discovered that there's nothing that happens in Christianity, in following Jesus, that is without a purpose. And God shakes things. He's a mover, but he's also a shaker. So we have a move of God and everybody's happy, but then he shakes what he moved. And the reason he shakes it is so that what can be shaken will get shaken, and what can't be shaken will only go stronger. So they were trying to grow trees in a glass house experiment for an entire sustainable village, but the trees kept falling over and they couldn't understand. And they said, because there's no wind in this geodesic dome and the wind strengthens the root system. So the trees just get stronger and stronger and stronger and more immovable because they're getting blown over by wind all day long. Take away the winds, take away the trial, take away the pressure, you become easily uprooted. And so part of the purpose of a trial is to make you stronger. It's not designed to weaken you, it's designed to strengthen you. Paul told his converts in Acts 14:22, we must go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to find yourself in some tribulation getting into the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1:6, so be truly glad, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These are the scriptures, your eye, you hit that, you go boom, you leapfrog all through the scripture. Oh, there's another one, bang, not going to read that. Oh, just these promises, my God, shall supply all your need, reigning in life by Christ. And you see all these ones, but these are in the middle of it all. You can't take one part of the Bible without the other. And you're going to reign in life because you suffered with Christ in this life. And I know a lot of preachers might want to avoid that, but I'm telling you, we're not equipping you for real life if we don't tell you this. If you don't say, well, this is normal. What I'm going through is normal. But listen to me, you can make it through this and you will be strengthened and more filled with faith than you've ever been before at the end of that trial. There are treasures on the other side of darkness. And if you walk through it, listen to me, if you're married and you're walking through a trial, keep walking. Don't fall apart. There are treasures that you cannot experience until you've come through that valley of pressure that you're facing. All you got to do is stay in prayer. Get into the prayer meeting on Tuesday night here at 7 o'clock, or on the prayer meeting at 6:30 on Friday morning. God will speak to you. Put strength in your heart. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. So quickly, I'm going to give you these 9 trials. I know. Yeah, but look, storms of life. Jesus did not say if a storm comes. He says when the storm comes. So storms are going to come into your life, unexpected, left field, out of the blue. He says, if you build on the rock, you're going to survive any storm that comes your way. The second one is chastening. Life has consequences. You know, when you do something that's wrong or stupid or unwise, you get consequences out of that. Those consequences are like the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12:5, my son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. Says only children, only true children that he loves get chastening. Our prayer would be, Lord, don't love me so much. Amen. You keep loving me all sorts of ways. Number 3, dealings of God. You prayed a prayer, use me. Now he's dealing with you. Now he's wrestling with you through the night. Now you're wrestling with God. This isn't wrestling with the devil. This is wrestling with God because he's shaping you and forming you and testing that faith. It says in Isaiah 49, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. You feel hidden away. You feel you're in the shadows. You're under the hand of God. Nobody sees what's going on in your life. They don't understand what's happening, but he does. He's making you like an arrow that's gonna hit bullseye, people. You're going to do so much with your life. He has got such a grand plan for you. But to get there, he's got to get you to be a polished shaft, which means a bit of sanding. I don't know if you've met Sister Sandpaper. She's in the church. Amen. And Brother Hammer. And all these, they're there. And they aggravate you and they irritate you. And people, you wonder, why on earth is this happening to me? Why am I surrounded by people that agitate me? Because God's sanding, and you're finding that you're changing. You're becoming that person that God wants you to be. Number four, temptation. Temptation. You're going to get tempted. You're going to get tempted. Even in worship, you'll find yourself singing songs to God and you have wrong thoughts. And because the devil loves to attack people when they're spiritually open and try and accuse them when they're standing before the Lord. You're involved in warfare and you'll be tempted. There'll be this, come with me. Ooh. And the temptation isn't always an immoral temptation. Sometimes it's a temptation to doubt. Sometimes it's a temptation to compromise your decision, your commitment. It's like, don't go all the way. Hold on to that tithe. Yeah, don't go too far with this whole religious thing. You know, just do it quietly. All these little temptations. Did God really say that you're going to be doing? Like the temptation in the garden and the temptation in the wilderness. And then there's the temptation. Yeah, oh, you'd really love doing that. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Just take one pill. You know, it's meant to be harmless. You know, like, wow. And the bad things that can come out of that. Resist temptation. Everybody gets it. Never think you're a special case. Oh, you don't know about my temptations. They're just, you know, amazing. And, you know, because I had to think, there's all sorts of reasons why. No, everybody gets it. We're all feeling the pull. Calm. He said, no. All you got to do is not consent and you'll resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's that simple. Number five, warfare. There's a fight going on. Sometimes you'll have thoughts in your head that are like you're unworthy. You're guilty, as if God's forgiven you. Things that are really warring against you. Emotional pressure where you're just feeling glum. You're feeling down. In those moments, take a hold of your life. Say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to start finding strength and joy. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to draw on God. And you will find yourself moving into another dimension, even in the middle of warfare. Number six, wrestling with self. We're getting there. Number nine is just not too far away. You holding? Holding? Yeah, right. Hold. Amen. We're good. Wrestling with yourself. The things that are inside of us. I talked this morning about the world I've come from was very indecisive. I found most members of our family were very indecisive. They'd second guess most decisions they'd made. So let's buy these shoes. Oh, no, don't. Let's not do that. Let's go here. No, we won't do that. Oh, we did that. We bought this. Oh, let's take it back. All the, like, a terrible world to live in. Yeah, and I had to wrestle with that and sometimes still do. And I decided I would become a completely decisive person, that I would not second guess. I wouldn't even look back or redress any decisions I made. So I just keep taking decisions one after the other. Not all of them have been perfect. Not all of them have been correct. And I've found that God has guided every step of the way, because all he needs is movement, definite forward movement. You're sometimes wrestling with yourself, with who you are. Wrestle yourself into the right position. Don't give up and say, oh, you know, like this is just who I am. I can't help myself. Say, no, I'm going to better this by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me, by the power of the word working in me, I'm going to make it. Number seven, wrestling with God. Wrestling over a decision you're making. And God's involved. And sometimes he's winning. Sometimes you're winning. He's saying, yes, yes, yes. You're saying, no, no, no. And you don't want to do it, and he does want you to do it. It might be the other way. He might be saying, no, no, no. You're going, yes, yes, yes. And you're wrestling with this decision. It could take a while until you eventually get to that point where you're submitted and committed to him. Number eight, persecution. Some people are not going to like you being a believer. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. They're going to criticize you, whether it's through social media, whether it's through just personal relationships. Sometimes it'll be family. Sometimes it'll be other people distant from you. But you will find that if you live for Christ, there are people who are going to oppose you, people who will criticize you. I used to preach when I first got born again, I was just preaching with all my heart. And down the back was a guy called Tony Tripper. He was called that because he'd taken over 300 doses of LSD. He was like on another planet. And he would sit down the back and he'd heckle me. Yeah, buddy, Christian. Yeah, he's yelling out, all this kind of thing. And it was hilarious. I mean, we'd have to pick him up, take him out, and he was just spaced out. Well, eventually, one night, he's sitting up the back, and the grip of God got on him. And he came down, and he asked Jesus into his life. Tony Tripper became one of the best friends we had. He's still following Jesus today, and he's preaching the gospel, and that's like nearly 50 years later. It's amazing. He couldn't put a sentence together. His concentration was shot, and it's a little better now, but he really found himself born again. It was powerful. And so don't be afraid of persecutors, because they can come to Christ. Think of Saul, who became Paul. And then the last one is the trial of your faith. This is what I wanted to get to more than anyone, but your faith is going to come under a test. Abraham's came under a test. God said, I want you to give me back the boy that I gave you. What a trial. He'd waited. The first trial of faith was to wait 25 years when you're 100 years old for the fulfillment of a promise from God. To last that long waiting. But he said he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. If you're a worshiper, you will grow faith. So he kept walking in that trial of his faith, that testing. And God is testing faith. He's putting it in fire. He's bending it. He's seeing, will it hold? Because I've got something for you up ahead called birthing nations. There was nations, not one nation, but nations in his loins. And God wanted to know that what he was building would be reproduced throughout the world. This is one man. And so he went through that trial, but then God said, bring him back. And the trial of faith was not actually giving him back, but the trial of faith was believing that that boy would rise from the dead, because that's the only way God could fulfill his promises and for Abraham to go through this trial, this request from God. And he believed. In the book of Hebrews, it says he believed that he would raise him from the dead. And when you're in a faith trial where you can't see how what God has said to you is ever going to happen because it died, your dream faded. Listen to me, every vision has to die. Jesus died on the cross. But the beautiful thing is, 3 days later, he popped up out of that ground again. There's resurrection. In Jesus, if I could have the musicians just come right now. You know, I'm not going to apologize for taking a little longer because this is too important to talk about, right? Good to see you in church again. You were here this morning. I notice these things. But I notice your husband's not with you tonight. Amen. He's got to work tomorrow. The Fosters have been members of this church like since they were teenagers. Right? A little older than a teenager. About 20. Yeah. Yeah, 20. 20. Just magnificent people. Yeah. Give the Fosters a big hand. Amen. Just brilliant, brilliant people. The reason I'm saying that is that Don and Sandy, they're not like preachers or in government or doing any of the ministry that we would think is like stage stuff, doing a lot of ministry in the floor, but this is the kind of people you build great churches on. Those stars, they come and go, but people like this, true to the core, full of faith, full of believing. I want that spirit of faith to fill your heart here tonight, so that whatever difficulty and challenge you're facing, and I'll only preach a message like this maybe once every 3 years or 2 years, or whatever. But it's important that you know that your faith will be tested. You haven't walked into a perfect life. You've walked into a life that's got its rugged moments. It's got tough moments. That moments that will test you to your limit. And you think, I can't make it, but you can. You're going to get through it all. God's dealing with you. He's molding you. He's making you into the kind of person who can possess the future. There's a future world coming that's got a lot of difficulties, even more challenges than we see today in it. Huge challenges. And I'm telling you, I know as I stand here, I can predict to you very easily that there's going to be more and more controversies about being a believer in this age, about being in the church in this age. More and more persecution, more and more challenges, more and more criticisms. We need a strong church. We need believers who are equipped on the inside to face every piece of opposition that they're going to face and not bow out because of public opinion turning against us. The power of God is going to come on us to stand for something that's worth dying for. The early church conditions, they flourished all around the world. They took the whole world on. And yet it was the time of the greatest opposition as well. Listen to me, we're not going to live without trials and trouble or persecution or criticism. But in the middle of it all, we'll be filled with the grace of God, with the love of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to make it all the way through every difficulty that you face. Let's all stand right now. I want you to reach out to God, and in 30 seconds, I'm just going to pray for you to have that spirit of faith come upon you. Heavenly Father, tonight, let faith fill every heart here. Let faith fill every life here. Let the Spirit of God pour down your Holy Ghost on every life in the house tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let the grace and the power and the Spirit of God impart faith into our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering. Thank you. Everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.